God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon is the parable that Jesus speaks in Luke 16, and in particular, the last part, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, I've never run a business by myself, but I've seen enough TED Talks and I've read enough LinkedIn posts to know that a business atmosphere depends on those who are at the top. Generally, the thought is that the business atmosphere, the employee morale, it reflects that of the boss, the head honcho in technical terms. Today's parable from Jesus teaches us that same principle, but in an interesting way. Certainly, Jesus knows how a successful business should be run, but Jesus doesn't come, God doesn't become flesh and blood to make a profit, but to purchase us from sin and death. And while we might be tempted to think we're not worth very much, well, because of our sin and our workplace violence against one another, God sends Jesus to purchase you from sin and the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, innocent, and precious blood. The parable we hear about today, a little bit of context, the parable we hear about today comes immediately after the parable of the prodigal son. Remember, prodigal means wasteful. And also recall that the story of the prodigal son was about how wasteful not just the son was, but really how wasteful or generous the father was with his mercy. We know that the story of the prodigal son is not first and foremost about how to not waste your money. We know the parable of the prodigal son is not about how to be good with your investments. Nor is it necessarily about family dynamics, about being nice to your kids. We know that for several reasons that parable is not about that. We know it's not about money management because the older son who was good with his money, well, he doesn't fare as well at the end of the story as the younger son who blew his money on all the bad stuff. Second, we know these parables are not just about earthly wisdom because also Jesus says that the parables are meant to confuse those who think the parables are just about earthly wisdom. Jesus says that the parables are to confuse those who think they know. And finally, we know that the parable's focus is always on the kingdom of God, the nature of God, and how He is not like us. Now, I'm not saying that the parable of the wasteful or the prodigal son, that there aren't good lessons to learn. Of course there are. However, in order to understand the true point of Christ's parables, we must keep Jesus' instruction on how to understand them, to understand the parables as teaching us of the character of God. So that's what we ask today, considering this somewhat difficult parable. What is it teaching us of the character of God? And then finally, the character of us. Does the character of the CEO, the boss, does his character trickle down to us? Now, many fall into the trap of thinking about our dishonest manager today. Many think the dishonest manager was wasteful with his master's possessions in the sense that he wasn't benefiting his master monetarily. When we hear wasting his possessions, we automatically think that money is involved. We often think this way because our mind, our body, our soul, well, if we're to be honest, is mostly concerned with money. But remember, this parable isn't primarily here to teach us good spending habits or how to invest rightly so that we would benefit monetarily. Unfortunately, that is what consumes most of our thoughts. How can I grow my bank account? How can I pad my retirement? How can I save up enough for my kids' college or that great vacation? Rarely is our first reaction, how can I support the gospel? How can I invest in what is valuable with the kingdom of God? Instead, our first reaction is often, where's the best interest rate? How can I make my money do all the work so I can just sit back and relax? I think we call that mailbox money. Your heart is where your treasure is. The dishonest manager, we are told, his heart was in the wrong place. Maybe. The dishonest manager, we are told, was being, and it's the reason why I mentioned the prodigal son is because here Jesus uses that same word that the dishonest manager was being prodigal. He was being wasteful. The manager, he wasn't being dishonest, but wasteful. How is he wasteful? Well, we're not exactly sure. It isn't immediately clear as to why the manager was fired, except we're told he was being wasteful of his master's possessions. I want us this morning to consider this parable as if money is not the most important thing. Just imagine a businessman who isn't first and foremost worried about his bottom line or his profit. Imagine a businessman who has all the money he needs or wants. He's achieved all the greatest goals. He has all the titles. He has everything. How would he want to run his business? I mean, imagine if he could just print his own money. Now, I digress a little. I mean, I'm not talking about the government here, which, you know, they, you know, think they have everything and they don't treat us very nicely. But what about a business owner who isn't first and foremost worried about what we're worried about? What if profit, monetary profit, was not his main concern? Let's consider that the master in this parable is God. What would God's business be? What would God want his managers, his stewards, to be concerned with doing? Does God need to grow his money? Does God need our investment advice? Does he need our brilliant decision-making skills on knowing exactly where success is to be found? In other words, what would God's business be about? Now, Jesus does say elsewhere that God does have a business. If you remember, when Mary and Joseph took Jesus to Jerusalem and they had lost him, they found him in the temple, they said, Why did you do this, Jesus? And Jesus said, did you know I must be about my Father's business? Jesus wasn't buying and selling in the temple. He wasn't making deals or trying to make sure people's temple ledger was in the black. Jesus was praying. He was hearing the gospel. He was teaching the gospel. He was proclaiming the mercy of God, and everyone was in awe. That's God's business. So often we're confused by this parable because the manager who's angry at the beginning then is, he commends the very manager who was wasteful at the end. We think that Jesus is telling a parable about a typical businessman. To be honest, we think those who are good with their money are gods in a sense. Those who have all the money in the world, or those who are able to make good stock trades, They have great practical wisdom. They have strategies that make money no matter what the market does, no matter what real estate does. They always seem to have some divine secret, and we treat them as such. And they certainly, it appears, can make money appear out of thin air. We assume that the manager was making poor financial decisions, that he was ruining the company's bottom line, that the profits were not up to standard, that he was a waste. But God's kingdom is about the things that are truly valuable. Look then at what the wasteful manager does to earn the approval of his boss, his master. He calls all the debtors in and he tells them to change their balances. He's losing his job, so well, he might as well save his reputation, he says. But think about this. Would you hire this manager after what he does? Would you trust such a person with any responsibility? I don't think I would. He can't be trusted, meaning he's letting everybody go. If the master was first concerned about his money, he would not commend this wasteful manager. The manager, though, does that. This manager, he can't be trusted still if money is the priority. Maybe his master really was onto something in firing him. But look at the manager and how he all of a sudden changes his outlook on life. He's going to lose his job. And when that happens, you tend to reevaluate life. You consider what is valuable. And most of us value our future. We want security. So we'll do whatever it takes. The manager says, "What do you owe my master? Cut it in half. At least, maybe, my master will get some of his money back in this liquidation, and at the same time, I'm going to look like a pretty nice guy." And after all this happens, word gets back to the master, and the master is not angry. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, for his wisdom. Now, this is where the parable gets kind of confusing. Any normal boss or CEO would be furious. But this master commends the manager for his wisdom. If we are mostly consumed with financial well-being and think that our master is as well, we will think that the master is commending the manager because he knew how to make friends. "Well, you ruined my company. But I gotta hand it to you, you know how to work a situation to your advantage." But the master is God. He is not worried about a successful business in the ways that we are. Jesus says the master commends the manager because he finally did what he wanted him to do all along. The master wanted the manager to be merciful, to forgive, to pretend as if debts owed to him were of no consequence. The master wanted to be known as one who forgives debts. He wanted to be known as one who forgives. And consider how the manager, he would have already had a great reputation if he only did what his master wanted him to do in the beginning, to be shrewd or wise with the master's business. Not only would he not be losing his job, but the people would already think that he is a pretty great guy. So look and see how Jesus is really that guy. Consider the type of manager, not just master that God is, but consider the manager Jesus. Jesus is sent by his Father to do his business, to manage what he's been given. So hear this and know this about Jesus. He doesn't wait for a time when it will benefit him most to be shrewd or wise. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us on the cross. And what did it cost him? He knew he would lose everything. And coming down from heaven in the presence of God and coming down here, humbling himself to be born of Mary. And it wasn't as if Jesus was being wasteful. Jesus was given all authority on heaven and on earth. And what did he do with that authority? He uses it to forgive us. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Jesus dies on the cross precisely because he is not wasteful. He's not wasteful with what the Father gives him. He gives what we cannot. He gives his life in exchange for yours, his righteousness for your sin. Jesus is not wasteful because that's what his Father desired for him to do. And while everyone looked at him on the cross, what did they say? They said, "What a waste." But he did this to save you, dear sinner. Jesus, knowing the character of his Master, his Father, he was willing to put it all on the line, even to lose his reputation, so that we would be rich. Rich beyond measure. So since our Master's business is never in jeopardy of closing, he defeated death, it will never go bankrupt. You are always forgiven. What kind of people should we be? What is the morale? What is the business atmosphere of God's business? Since we see the attitude and the perspective of the guy at the top, what kind of people or workers should we be? With the possessions that he's given to you, Jesus certainly is teaching us about the kingdom of God and how we should forgive and be merciful, but that should also extend into our lives and how we use, in particular today, Jesus says, consider your money. You cannot serve two masters. You can't work for two businesses. Who is your master? Having money as a master, it's kind of an ugly way to live. That master is always demanding more of you. He demands your time. He'll steal your time from you and from your family. He will steal your time from your kids, your grandkids, your friends, just so that you can be close to him. He will steal your very life, just so you can hold on to him and what happens to him when you die. What kind of a master is that? But God is a better master. He is always giving to you. He never takes from you, but is always giving and loving and being merciful. He is always forgiving. Money is a master. God is a master. God is a better master. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.